is Brother Emeka that asked me one question about the fig tree? Now you again. Joy, it's a bit asked question. Give me microphone. I saw the text. I will just answer your question and we fight any other enemy that has not submitted in prayer. Amen. Let's take it. When the Bible says the church is marching on, the church is marching on, the gates of hell shall not prevail, the church is marching on. Oh, marching on,
the church is marching on. The church is marching on.
Hallelujah. Let me hear you.
God bless you, sir.
Yes.
Church, praise the Lord.
Listen to this question very well. Listen to it.
My question is from Mark 11, from verse 12 to 14, which we studied on Tuesday.
Read it.
Verse 12 says, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. So my question is this, sir. Jesus being God, knowing everything, knowing that it's not yet the time of figs, why did he cause the fig tree? That's my question, sir.
You know, it's a very interesting question. Amen. Because he went and saw a tree, and he was hungry, he expected to have fruit from it. And when he got there, he noticed there was no fruit. And the Bible says, why there was no fruit? Because it was not yet time for the fig to have fruit. And yet, Jesus caused it. So why will you cause it now when it is not yet time for the fruit? Amen. Now that is interesting. There's a mystery there. That's why I want you to be awake. Listen carefully. Amen. Because we have the grace in this age that God has given us in this end time, through this end time message, that grants us understanding. Now these things are not written in any book anywhere, so don't go to any bookshop. That is why you should listen. Get the tape, go and digest it. It's very interesting. That scripture also explains a mystery of redemption. Hallelujah. It explains the mystery of redemption. So maybe let me just title this short, it's a study, it's a Bible study. The title is The Cost Tree. The Cost Tree. And that cost tree there, hallelujah, God was using that action that Jesus Christ did, or Christ himself, was using that action to let us know something, demonstrating something about redemption. That fruitless tree there, that fig tree, is actually Israel. It's Israel. The nation of Israel, God's own people. And it's made clear in Luke chapter 13. Let's read. Because scripture, the Bible says line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Thank you very much. Now this is the way Christ put it again from verse 6. Verse 6 to 9, Luke chapter 13. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Can you see another presentation? In Mark 11, it was an action. But here in Luke 13, he is now giving it as a parable to understand something, a mystery that was going on. He found none, no fruit there. Verse 7. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years, how many years did Jesus Christ have his ministry? 3 years or 3.5 years. He said, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Therefore, what should happen? Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. And this parable, hallelujah, makes it even clearer. I will come to why he said it was not time for the fig later, so that you will understand it clearer. So you discover that that fig tree is Israel. Christ making it clear, a religious people that he came to, but he found no fruit of godliness in them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he asked, let it be cut down. But somebody is telling him, remember it's a parable, leave it for some time. Don't curse it immediately. Let me dress it. Let me put manure, fertilizer. Maybe it will bring forth some fruit. But if it doesn't bring forth fruit, then you can cut it down. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we know the history. Jesus Christ left in AD 33. And when he left, Israel was not destroyed immediately. It was destroyed in AD 70, 37 years after. That gap is that portion. Let me leave it for another year and see whether if I try my best, maybe it will bring forth fruit. But as soon as Jesus Christ left, they started killing his disciples. They were even worse after he left. And then in AD 70, that Roman general came and cut down the tree. Destroyed that city, Jerusalem. And they remained scattered like that until 1948. From AD 70. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is the way Luke put it. It's Luke 21. From verse 20. If you are with me, I read from verse 20, Luke 21. He said, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, that was in AD 70. But he was giving us a prophecy. This is Jesus Christ speaking. He said, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. Verse 22 is my emphasis, for these be the days of vengeance. The days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Which vengeance? Praise God. They rejected Jesus Christ. They treated him anyhow. They spited him. They killed his disciples. very gruesome way of killing human beings. They subjected and martyred all those disciples. But God was coming to revenge. That death, shameful death that they gave the Son of God, hanging him on the tree. It was his own way of revenging that he sent General Titus in 1870. If you know the story of what happened that year, then you'll understand why in verse 23 he said, "But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon these people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, those, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." He put it also this way in Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19. And if you read it from verse 41. Luke 19 verse 41. "And when he was come near, he beheld a city and wept over it, saying, If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hidden from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." He was speaking that prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Christ coming to his own people, but they rejecting him. There's another parable in Matthew chapter 22. Let's read it. In Matthew chapter 22, the parable of the wedding, the marriage feast. And verse 1 lets you also understand it clear. I'm just giving you scriptures to support what I'm saying. "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they will not come." Who is that son? It's Jesus Christ. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, "Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings have killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, all those apostles, and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was angry, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies." So it was God that actually made General Titus to come and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. It's not, he didn't say their cities. One city. Which city is that? Jerusalem. Thank you. Verse 8. "Then said he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden, we are not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." Now before I read verse 10, go to Acts chapter 13. Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 13, from verse 44. From verse 44. I'm coming back to Matthew 22 to continue from verse 10. I want you to understand this, the verse. Verse 8, where he said, "Then said he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which we are bidden, we are not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. That is verse 9. Now, see where that particular portion began to be fulfilled. Verse 44 of Acts chapter 13. And the next Sabbath day, came also the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold, and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. That is where verse 8 and verse 9 of Matthew 22 began to be fulfilled. That is how the gospel began to come to us, the Gentiles. Let's go to Matthew 22 and continue from verse 10. It's a Bible study. Verse 10, Matthew 22. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Israel, the fig tree, being cursed because they rejected, or they could not, they did not know the time, they could not recognize the time of their visitation. Let's see another story again. It's in Esther. I will just summarize it because it is a whole story that covers two chapters of the book of Esther. King Ahasuerus had a queen, Vashti. Hallelujah. Let's just read a few verses there. Go to Esther. Chapter 1 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces. That in those days, when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants. The power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces, being before him, when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 180 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small. How many days? 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. Where were white, green, and blue hangings, and fastened with cords of fine linen, and purple to silver rings, and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Now that's verse 9, where we are going. Also Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Pista, Habona, Bigta, and Abata, Zeta, and Kakas, the 7 chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner towards all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Kashanab, Shetab, Adamath, and all the rest, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face, and which sat at the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto Queen Vashti according to law, because she has not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen has not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes when it shall be reported. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not uttered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus. And let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. That's where I'm going. And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And they say, please the king and the princess. And the king did according to the word of Memucan. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people that after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. After these things, chapter 2, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done, and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Hege the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them, and let the maiden which pleased the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. That is how Vashti lost her position, and another queen was appointed. What's the name of the queen? You know the story. Esther. Vashti there is a type. King Vashti. Hallelujah. The type of the God of Israel. The feast there is the day of salvation. The day of redemption. That God came down to show the whole world that Israel has a God. But they turned it down. They turned down the gospel. Gospel is good news. And because they turned it down, Vashti is a type of Israel, God's own queen. And because they turned it down, they had to look for a replacement. That is why the gospel came to us. To get a bride that will replace Israel. That's why we are the bride of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is how we took over that glorious position. John 1:11 says, he came to his own, but his own received him not. In verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to do what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is how the gospel came to us. But now, that verse that is the subject of his question, that the time of the fig is not yet, in Mark chapter 11, where that tree was cursed. Why? He said it was not yet their time. Amen. Why was it not yet their time? Why? Because God had a program for the redemption of the whole world. In his foreordained program. Hallelujah. He had a program that he set forth, that he arranged in such a way, through his foreknowledge. He did it in such a way that there was an appointed time for Israel. Why Israel could not receive Jesus Christ, salvation, it was God himself that planned it. Oh, the mystery of redemption. The mystery of redemption. This is where you see the depth of the mystery of redemption. I'm telling you, it's a revelation that when you catch it, amen, it makes you fall in love with God, and it makes you fear him the more. God himself arranged it. He arranged it in such a way, hallelujah, according to his program, that time was not the time for Israel to receive their salvation. It was not their time. According to his program, their time will come later. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Israel believes that they are the only ones. Gentiles are dogs. Even Jesus Christ said, I did not come back for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He told us, the Syrophoenician woman, that it's not meat, it's not proper to give the children's food to dogs. Every Jew will look at all the Gentiles around, see us as animals. They are so proud of themselves. That's why Hitler got so angry. He said, these people think they are a special race. I'll deal with all of you. And they are a special race because they are children from a covenant that God had with Abraham. And that covenant will never be broken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is an everlasting covenant. Amen. But God's salvation plan was for the whole world, not only for the Jews only. And there are prophecies, John chapter 10. This is the way Jesus Christ put it. Go to John chapter 10. When he was speaking about the good shepherd, that he is a good shepherd. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so knoweth I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And other sheep, see? And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. This fold is Israel. And other sheep, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Isaiah 56. Isaiah prophesied it. Go there. Go to Isaiah 56. In Isaiah 56, hallelujah. Let me read one verse there, verse 8. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcast of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him, beside those that are gathered unto him. There are others apart from Israel. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is the way that Apostle Paul broke it down in Romans verse 24. Verse 24 up to verse 26. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, that is our source, is talking to the Gentiles, and we are grafted, contrary to nature, into a good olive tree. That's what he wants you to know. How much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Then, he was trying to let us know, verse 25, for I will not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That is one scripture. Another scripture is Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. From verse 19. This is the way he put it. From verse 19. He said, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. And by a foolish nation, I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me, the Gentiles. But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. That's Israel for you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is Israel for you. When were they blinded? When was Israel blinded? Israel was blinded in Isaiah chapter 6. Let's read it. Verse 8. Isaiah now, after King Uzziah died, God led Isaiah to see the throne. He saw the glory of God. And he quickly noticed that he was a man of unclean lips, and his lips were consecrated when that cherub dropped a coal of fire on his tongue. And verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell these people. Which people? Israel. Hear you indeed, but understand not. And see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of these people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Did it not happen after AD 70? And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaken in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tent, and it shall return. Did they not return in 1948? Did they not return in 1948? Verse 13. But yet in it shall be a tent, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a pear tree, and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And this was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 13. Christ made reference to it. Go to Matthew chapter 13. This is why they rejected Jesus Christ. It was God Himself in action. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 13. If you are there, from verse 9. And I'll read it up to verse 17. He gave the parable of the soils and other parables. And in verse 9, he said, who had ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. It's a revelation. Verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. You see? That's Isaiah chapter 6. And see, ye shall see and shall not perceive. For these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your ears, are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 34. Verse 34. And verse 35. He said, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without the parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And something we can learn from here, church. What he is doing, or he did to Israel, when the gospel was sent to them, he is doing it even now in Christianity. See, so that these people, Israel, will not understand the true salvation. They would understand. Each time he went out speaking to them, he will speak in parables. And he will not explain the meaning of the parables to them, so that they will remain in confusion. In fact, he was even speaking in such a way to cause them to be so angry, so that they will kill him, so that the scripture will be fulfilled. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I get excited because it is still happening even now, so that you understand. Imagine, they had all the Torah, the books, the law. They were doctors of divinity at that time. There was Dr. Reverend Dr. Gamaliel. He had the best theological institution that even Apostle Paul boasted that he's a product of that institution. Amen. And yet, when it came to the true redemption process, they knew nothing about it. And yet, Jesus stood one time. They are wondering who he is. He says, search the scripture. In them you think you have life. He said, but they are they that testify of me. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, if you don't believe me, he said, but at least believe me for the works sake, the works that I do in my Father's name, they testify of me. Since Israel started, have you ever seen a man that was performing the kind of miracle I was doing? The scripture said the Messiah will be born of a virgin birth. Here is a man that was born by a virgin birth. The scripture said he will be born in Bethlehem, Judea. That is where he was born. The scripture spoke about his lineage. And the Moses that you people are holding on to, Gagaraga, in Deuteronomy 18, he said, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. He spoke. He said it. And that prophet is in the land now. And you cannot recognize him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, it was God himself that was doing it. So that they can remain where they are. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that they can remain where they are. And then he can go on with the next stage of his program for redemption. Remember. Hallelujah. That's why I say, I don't know what they teach in the Bible school. If not, God gave the divine timetable to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. Gave them from the time. You can get that full message. The message I titled the divine timetable. We trace the timetable of God for redemption from Genesis up down to Revelation 22 to eternal age. It's in the Bible, stage by stage. After this, next, what is the next program? What is the next program? What is the next program? And we all saw that the stage that he is in now is the stage for the shout. The stage that we are in now is the shout. And the next stage we are waiting for, now that we have responded to the shout, the next stage is what? The voice of the archangel producing what? The seven thunders. It's in the Bible. Daniel was given the timetable. They were in captivity that Jeremiah had prophesied. They were there in that captivity. And suddenly the Bible says that Daniel understood by books that Jeremiah had given a prophecy that they would go in captivity because of the abominations they were doing for 70 years. Then Nebuchadnezzar came and packed all of them away. Suddenly he discovered that we are not going to remain in Babylon forever. Okay? But when are we going back home? When is this captivity going to end? Then he went to the books. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a right a man rightly dividing the word of truth. A workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, church, study. Don't only see vision, study. Rapture will take place. People will still be seeing vision. The rapture has gone. That's why Apostle Peter said, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. For many are called. I say many are called. I am choosing. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Daniel understood. And they were studying these Old Testament prophecies in their theological institutions. They were studying it, church. They were studying it. And then Daniel suddenly discovered when he calculated, since it is 70 years, when did we go in this captivity? By the time he discovered and calculated, they had spent 68 years already. I am telling you, Daniel chapter 9. They had spent 68 years already. So it remained only 2 years. Hey, rapturing faith came upon him. That I will soon be going home. And he began to pray, interceding for the whole nation, interceding for the whole Israel, for everybody. And God sent an angel to tell Daniel, right from the time you started your prayers, I have been sent from God. Your prayer have been heard. And not only about you going back to Israel, the land of Palestine, but now, see what is determined upon your people. And gave him a timetable and a time frame of stage by stage. And then from when it will start, from the going forth of the commandment to go and rebuild that city. From that time that you will see that commandment given, he said, count a number of years and then the Messiah will appear. It's in the Bible. So if they were staying, they were following the Bible, they will have known that, look at history, look at this date. The angel told Daniel, it will last so number of years. And according to church history, exactly those number of years, that was when Christ was born. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But he said something. He said, 70 weeks are determined upon your people. And there are 70 weeks of years. 7 years in a week. We proved it in the scripture. That means 70 times 7. That's how many years? That is, he's telling Daniel, he said, there is a program that will last 490 years for your people. Starting from the time that the commandment will be given. And the commandment was given, which made them to leave, to go back. From that date, he said, start, they gave them, broke it down. The first stage will be 483 years. Hallelujah. 483 years. He said, the Messiah will be cut off. The Messiah will be cut off. Exactly when it is 483 years. And immediately he was cut off. Remaining how many years? How many years? Remaining 7 years for the 490 years to be completed. But when it was 483 years, it was cut off. From the time it was cut off, the gospel turned to the Gentiles. Therefore, that 7 year period for him to finish with them, to finish their process, the process of redemption for Israel, that 7 years was suspended. So between the 483 years period when Christ was cut off and the next period that the last 7 years will take place, which is 1 week now, 69 weeks have been fulfilled and the Messiah was cut off, he suspended Israel and came to the Gentile period to get a bride. So how many more years for God to deal with Israel to complete his process of redemption for them? How many years? 7 years or 1 week. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is between the 69th week and the 70th week that the Gentile bride is produced. And that is the period we are in now. That is divided into 7 church ages. But he left a key again in Hosea chapter 6. Hallelujah. Of how long he will be with us before he will go back and start the last 1 week. And we saw that it's going to last how many days? 2 days. 1 day, according to the Bible, is 1,000 years. 2 days, meaning 2,000 years. It means when the gospel will come to us, it will last for 2,000 years. After 2,000 years is the rapture, so that he can go back to Israel. It's in the Bible, church. I'm summarizing it. I preached it in details in the message I titled The Divine Timetable. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord. The original life, the original life, the original sea, the original world is what I believe. The Son of Man, the seven sins, the original life. We are called unto adoption.
We are called unto adoption. Full authority and power. For translation in this time, generation soon be over. Glory, hallelujah, to our God, who's original. Hallelujah. The original world is what I believe. The Son of Man, the seven seals, the original life, the original seal.
Listen, church, the key is in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2. Hallelujah. We also remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. Hallelujah. There's another key there. There's another key there. For you to know that. Hallelujah. Listen, church. The man was moving from Jericho to where? To Jerusalem. He met thieves on the way, robbers that, you know, bruised him and dealt with him. And the Bible says he lay there helpless. According to the parable, he said that the priest and the Levites, they all passed. They could not help him. They passed away. But a good Samaritan. Why is it a Samaritan? Because the Jews have no regard for the Samaritans. So they are like outcasts. An outcast person that they rejected was the same person now that came and saw him and took him and bound his wounds, for by his stripes we are healed. And took him to an inn. That inn there is the church. Handed him over to the innkeeper, the fivefold ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body. That is what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 says. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then he told him to take care of this patient for me. And he gave him how many pennies? 2 pence in Matthew chapter 22. A day's wage. Wages for a day's work is how much? 1 penny. If he gave him 2 pennies, it means he is going to work on him for 2 days. 2,000 years. Hallelujah. The key in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 2. Praise the Lord. He said, he quoted it this way. He said, he has smitten us. He will bind us. And he added there. He said, after 2 days, he will revive us. When we are there smitten, AD 70. That's when they were smitten. He said, after 2 days, that is 2,000 years after AD 70, he will revive them again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That means those 2 days period is known as the Gentile Church Age. Divided into 7 church ages. Every age, God was pulling out a bride for himself. Hallelujah. And we are now in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servant the prophets. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is who we are. Hallelujah. It's a revelation that when you catch, nobody will tell you don't fornicate. Nobody will tell you don't drink beer. Nobody will tell you love your neighbor, brotherly love. It's a revelation that anchors you. Anchors you like Daniel. To know that there is no more time. Any time from now. And I calculated it from that 80-70. And we came to know how many more years are left for the Gentiles from that 2,000 years that is allocated to us. And people have this revelation and they are still playing religion. I am Catholic. I am redeemed. I am this. I am that. With this revelation, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That tree that was cursed, it was cursed for you and me to come in. That's why he said it was not yet time for the fruit. For the figs. You see why it was not yet time? He had to suspend them. For our sake. For our sake. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why Apostle Paul spoke it this way in Romans chapter 11. Open Romans chapter 11 to the Gentiles. Listen to the Gentiles. Romans chapter 11. See the way Apostle Paul put it. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. See the way he put it from verse 11. It's the evening market. Hallelujah. Are we there? I want you to understand something that Apostle Paul said. Verse 11. I said then, amen. I said, listen carefully to you, Gentile church. Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Verse 12. Now, that's the warning. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? But I speak unto you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles and magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and myself some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them? What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root beareth thee. That we say then, this is our posture. The branches we have broken up that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me read this scripture I have read before. For I will not, brethren, that you should be ignorant, verse 25, of this mystery. Brethren, it is a mystery. Lest ye should be wise in your own conscience, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be coming. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Now listen, as concerning the gospel, listen carefully, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's sake. Then he added finally, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, now. So never you think that Israel is lost forever. They don't believe in Jesus Christ now as a nation, but they have the remnant because there were the elect among them. Amen. But as a nation, see, Christianity is not their national religion. They are still holding on to the Old Testament law. They are still killing rams because their eyes of revelation have been blinding. They are still making sacrifices in the temple when the Lamb of God has come and offered the sacrifice and God. Hallelujah. Because I was saying something that I didn't complete, and I must complete it. Church, there are people that are holding Bible. Some of them even own churches. Some of them, yes, they have anointing. Some of them have large followership like Gamaliel had. But concerning the process of redemption, they are as blind as a bat. Blind as a bat in the daytime. And God is the one that did it. Because he has his own. I promise I will answer some of this question this week. I couldn't answer. That salvation is not for everybody. Have you not realized that our modern day preachers, every scripture they read here, the only revelation they ever see here is prosperity? The story of Esther is prosperity. The story of Joseph is prosperity. Even as they go to look at the cross, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, when they look at the cross, in the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. Do you know what they are seeing? Do you know the aspect of the cross they pick? They pick his cloth that the soldiers took and parted among themselves because the cloth was a designer wear. That's what they see. Therefore, they see prosperity. On the cross of Calvary, the only thing they see is prosperity. So, a preacher should wear designer clothes, designer car, designer shoe, designer haircut. And as all they see in the Bible, but anything concerning redemption, I repeat, as blind as a bat in the daytime. And that's why Jesus Christ said, when the blind lead the blind, I'm telling you, they will all end up in hell. Hold their Bible in their hands. And when God's mercy makes some of you to come across a ministry like this and hear the type of teaching that we teach, and you still cannot have your ears open to push you to a revelation to take a stand, it lets me understand that scripture clearer. 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 That there are people that he, God himself, has blinded their ears. Deafened their ears. Sealed their eyes and their ears. That's the truth. If not, how can somebody say he has a doctorate degree in theology and the Bible says go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, and he will take you to the water according to Matthew 28 verse 19. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, put you inside the water and bring you out. And the same disciples of Jesus Christ, Peter and the rest, Philip and the rest, that had Jesus tell them go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, they take that person and baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. Were they wrong? It's a revelation. It's a revelation. Why do you know it and they don't know it? Unto you it is given. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, church. The problem with Christianity is, instead of you to allow God to teach you, you go to Bible school to teach, to be taught. Look, go to John chapter 6. Go to John chapter 6. Go to John chapter 6. Are you there? There's a scripture there. Hallelujah. Verse 44 and verse 45. If you are there, he said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Who is the person speaking? Jesus. Nobody. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, he said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe shall not perish but have everlasting life. So it looks as if salvation is for everybody. But here you see now, in verse 44, he said, although he said come, yet he said no man can come except the Father that sent him draw you to Jesus Christ. You can never answer that call truly. Wow. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets. See where I am going? And they shall be all taught of Bible school. Are you following me? Eh? And they shall be all taught of seminary. Eh? And they shall all be all taught of God. Then he added, every man therefore that has heard and has learned of who? Of the Father, cometh unto me. Before you can come, the Father will have to reveal who he is. You see? So they make it look as if salvation is for everybody. If it is for everybody, blessed be the name of the Lord. Why are some people sleeping now? And some people are excited at the word. Because it is not meant for those who are sleeping. It's not meant for you. That's why you are sleeping now. No, it's true now. What is the food of the spirit? If you are hungry, you go to a restaurant to eat. If your spirit is hungry, where do you go to? You go to the word, the Bible. Why should you sleep when it is time for Bible study? Because it does not belong for you. It has the truth. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom. Unto you. But to them that are without, it is not given. They will see, they will not understand. Aren't you glad you are part of the bride? Hey! There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are aflame with a fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning down with light. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah. Be seated one moment. Give me 5 minutes. Let me close something. Listen, church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You don't know how happy I feel that the grace of God can find a useless sinner like me and bring me up to this level. Hallelujah. No, it's true. When he said many are called, few are chosen. Few. Few. He called them the elect. This pastor get bad mouth, bad mouth. Bad mouth. Who can I pray for me? Make my mouth rearrange. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, when you have revelation of the church, see, the language of the bride is different. See, when I say chicken now, you understand. When I say vulture, you understand. A vulture eats only dead food. When a Christian carry Bible and go to Sele, it's a vulture. It's going to eat dead food. It's going to eat dead food. Praise the Lord. A vulture. A vulture. You're a vulture. After hearing this type of sermon, some people here will take off and go to Babalawo. You are a vulture. You are a vulture. Vulture. Anything na food. Church na church. Church na church. Food na food. You live here now, hell very full of grace. Another one, you go to river, they bath you. Another one again, you go and take incense and burn for your room. Another one again, you go and take candle and hold. Another, you are a vulture. You are a vulture. You are a vulture. Food na food. But we are the carcass is. They are the eagles they gathered. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A Christian does not say with his mouth, I am a Christian. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, don't tell me you're a Christian. Tell him. Tell your neighbor, by your fruit I will know who you are. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, by my fruit you will know who I am. Why are you not greet talking? You. Why are you not talking? I said, tell your neighbor. Tell him. Tell your neighbor again, by my fruit you will know who I am. When you live here and you see somebody in your church inside beer parlor, don't be shocked. Don't be shocked. That helps you to know who he is. Amen. When you go and meet a Christian brother for counseling, for prayer, for deliverance, then they do deliverance. They begin to see the demon. They touch where the demon is. Now there the demon. They out! 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 Then you know who he is. It's a fornicator standing there. It's certainly not a Christian. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why he added, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me, in that day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. Did you know that? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And let me read verse 43 to verse 45. He emphasized it again. Hallelujah. For a good, verse 43, Luke chapter 6. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt tree, a corrupt fruit. Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor the bramble bush gather the grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Amen. So it's very easy. It's very easy. It's very, very easy to know who is who. And remember that they left Egypt for the promised land. When they were leaving Egypt, they were a mixed multitude. Church also is a mixed multitude. Two groups of people described as wheat and tares, sheep and goats. Two spirits, spirit of truth and spirit of error. They are in the church. All of them hold the same Bible. That's why it's not how much you can quote Bible. It's not how much you can, preach, shout, see vision, have your anointing, sometimes in your pocket, and put them, take it. And you said that is a man of God. Shine your eye. By their fruit, you shall know them. Can you imagine a bishop in Nigeria slapped a little child in his altar because the demon was talking through the child? He said, I am a witch for Jesus. He said, what did he say? He said, I am a witch for Jesus. Slap and powers. A bishop of a big church in Nigeria. See? They are so much in the flesh until they know nothing about the spirit. To know that it is not that small girl that was talking, it was a spirit. Sound up. Powers. It's in the YouTube. Now YouTube I see them. The whole world was, they were reacting. Some lawyers, they're trying to trace that child so that they would take him to court for violation. I'm just trying to tell you, blessed be the name of the Lord. And yet they speak big grammar when they hold microphone. Therefore, you are not known by the grammar you speak. It's by your fruit. Which fruit? Galatians chapter 5. These are the fruits. It's not mango. It's not apple. See the fruit here. Why do you call it the fruit of the Spirit? Because when the Spirit of God is in you, He said, the manifestation, hallelujah, when the Spirit of God takes a hold, we saw it in Ezekiel chapter 36, when God wants to regenerate you, He takes you, the first place He works in your conversion is, He said, He will take away the stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. You see? Then, He puts a new spirit in you. Those are the stages. Hallelujah. Then, He will now come and put His own spirit in that new spirit of yours. Then you, your spirit, and His spirit become one spirit. He takes total control of your life. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Newness of thinking, newness of acting, newness in everything. Look, when you find yourself, that is the difference between a sheep and a goat. When you find yourself in any muddy ground, you are uncomfortable. He said, he that is born of God, John says so, does not commit sin. Why? He said, because his seed remaineth in you. Which seed? The seed that Peter said we are born again by. We are born again by the incorruptible seed of the word. The word of God. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. You see? Because that word is in you. When you want to commit fornication, your girlfriend come and visit you, your body charge. Amen. No, your body can't. This is a constant battle. No matter how much you have the Holy Ghost, when you see a naked, beautiful naked woman, the natural things, the body will react. But when that seed is in you, you cannot fall. Because the seed is in you, you cannot sin. That is, you don't take pleasure in sin. Why? Before you remove your belt, the word of God inside of you will speak. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Ah! You will buckle up. You will zip up again. Father, forgive me. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A brother owes you money and does not want to pay you back. And you want to go and rake and finish him as you are planning to go. If he take away, he said, if any man, well, Luke chapter 6, verse 30, read it for me. I want to quote it very well. Read, let me hear you.
Praise the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Give to every man that asketh.
Ask! Thank you. Give to every man that asketh of you. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And of him that taketh away the goods, ask him not again. Ask them not again.
If that word is in you, as you go, person where they owe you, when no greed pay you, brother, Christian brother for that matter, that word will come. He that taketh away from you, say, don't even pursue him. You will turn back. If you have hidden his word in your heart. Hallelujah. Somebody do you. In the New Testament, there is nothing like do me, I do you. If they slap you here, he says, set another side again for him. This sister goes a bit fight. Well. She said, no. He said, na lie, yo. Now, Bible had they read. She said, na lie. It's in the Bible. Eh? Praise the Lord. They were killing Jesus Christ on the cross on Calvary. What was his prayer for them? That's what I'm saying. He said, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Hallelujah. You say what? He said, if your enemy is hungry, what should you do? But it's your enemy. Eh? If he's naked, you clothe him. But it's your enemy. So you see, you are talking like that because you don't know the word. All the scriptures you people know is scripture to fight. fight, fight, because in you now fight, because your pastor now fight, fight there in body. So he baptized you with the spirit of fight until you don't know the love of God anymore. But if the spirit of God is in you, now it doesn't make you foolish, because nobody touches a seed of God and goes free. That's why he said, in so doing, you are heaping coals of fire. You are heaping judgment on that person. We are God's apple of his eyes. People don't know Bible. You don't know the practical side of Christianity. The practical side is the fruit. The practical side of Christianity is the fruit. And you don't say you are a Christian until you have evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in you. Never you say that you have the Holy Ghost except you see the fruit in manifestation. What is the fruit? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Number one is what? Shout it. Love. The next one. The next one. Peace. Long suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. The last one. Prayers. They are some of the fruits of the Spirit. Psalm number one. Read Psalm one. I love that scripture. Hallelujah. He said, verse 1, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3 is my emphasis. When you do that, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatever you do, you prosper, because you are bringing forth fruit in his season. Every fruit has a season. There is a season for love. When you see somebody suffering, that is the season for that fruit to come out. It will come out naturally. People who are trying to copy others, they have no love, but they want to copy. They will do. When they do finish, go see them tomorrow and say, all of you, you are copying. You don't have that fruit. Hallelujah. Rain is falling now. You go carry your car, go. Brethren are going, empty car, they go. You have no love in you. That is the season of love. When you see somebody in need and you are in position to help, it is the season for that. There's a season for long suffering, patience, temperance. All of them, there is a season for it. Praise the Lord. And when you are like a tree planted by the rivers of water, one who meditates on God's word always, you can't help but it just flows naturally. Just naturally. And then your leaf will never wither. Live there is your fellowship with the Spirit, because you are always in the Spirit. Anytime they come to you, they see joy. Anytime they come to you, they just see peace all around you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, I have answered that question. That is that tree. May you not be cursed in Jesus' name. May you be a tree that will bring forth fruit. Bring forth fruit in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the Gentile days will soon close. The grace he gave us for dogs like us to come and occupy a higher position, it's a mystery. That's why Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, where he says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, he said, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. One mystery. He said one mystery. It is a mysteries. One mystery. The mystery should be finished. Which mystery? Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. The whole of that chapter, he tried to explain that singular mystery. The mystery of how Gentiles that we are nobody, they now come to occupy a higher position than the Jews. Fulfilling the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But it is ordained from the foundation of the world and spoken in parables. Hallelujah. When Jacob was to bless the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, who was the senior? Manasseh was the senior, I hope. And he was to bring them, he was blind, he could not see. And then he stretched forth his hand. He brought the first one to the right hand, because the right hand side, that is where the senior, the power will be released. And the junior will come to the left side. So he was supposed to stretch forth his hand like this. But instead, when the children came, he crossed his hand. And Joseph said, "No, Daddy, what are you doing?" He said, "Leave it so." He was a prophet. Now God is showing what he's to do. Speaking that through the cross, salvation will cross from Israel to the Gentiles. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So many other types in the Old Testament were occupying a privileged position. Rejoice because you are a Christian. Whether you have food to eat or not, if you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, rejoice. He has given us eternal life. Can we stand up, church?